Good afternoon. Before I get started talking about us, our injuries, so forth, and our challenges that await us this week, I thought it was appropriate that I address the situation going on with one of our players, Alameda. Due to his actions this past weekend, we're going to be suspending him for 2 weeks. Over the next 2 weeks, our next two games, that being against Cincinnati and the Washington Redskins, respectfully, this suspension is without pay. He will not participate in any organized team activities. He won't be in meetings. He won't be on the practice field, and obviously he will not be at our facility. We deem his actions a detriment to our efforts, to be honest with you, and we're treating it as such. There are other ramifications so forth of this situation that I'm not at the liberty to discuss in great detail at this time, but we thought it was very important that we act and act quickly in terms of addressing this, and we can focus our efforts on the men that are playing and getting ready to meet this week's challenge. Obviously, it's a disturbing incident, one that we take very seriously as members of this community and the organization which we are. I'll talk quickly about some of our injury issues. Brandon Johnson has a hamstring. He could be characterized as questionable as we sit here today. Stevenson Sylvester with a right shoulder AC sprain is in the same situation. Marcus Gilbert, we flew to Charlotte yesterday, and he saw a specialist regarding his ankle. He has a tendon injury in his ankle. It does not require surgery. He is week to week. He will be out this week, but it was a positive meeting in that the injury does not require surgery. Chris Carter will be out this week with a hamstring injury. Troy will still be out this week with his calf injury. We have some other guys that could be characterized as questionable as we sit here today. In that group is Rashard Mendenhall with his Achilles situation, Marquise Pouncey, of course, with his right knee, and Isaac Redmond with his right ankle. All of those guys we're going to deal with day to day, gauge their availability on their participation in practices and in workouts and so forth. We're optimistic, but at the same time, we're going to take it day to day. Obviously, we have some capable men. If those guys cannot participate, and we'll expect those guys to uphold the standard, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, quickly looking at the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously, we got some issues there. This is a big game for us and for them. It's our first venture into division play. We all know the importance of division play, particularly when you've had the kind of start that we've had. I would imagine that they could say similar things, and it's going to be a big game for all parties involved, which, of course, should make it entertaining for our fans. Looking at them offensively and starting there, obviously they have continuity and structure under the leadership of Coach Gruden, their offensive coordinator. It's obvious that this program is growing under him and Andy Dalton. Andy's got a great rapport with some key guys, and I'll talk about those guys briefly. Obviously, A.J. Green is an exciting Pro Bowl caliber receiver with a unique physical skill set. He puts that on tape just about each and every week. We'll have our hands full dealing with what he is capable of, but by no means is he a one-man gang. Gresham, their tight end, is really doing some nice things. I really like what Coach Gruden is doing with him schematically. They're putting him in some situations and displacing him from the core and getting him in matchups versus linebackers and safety types. He has a unique skill set. He's like an enormous wide receiver. He's got good body control. He runs great routes. He's a vertical threat. Obviously, if you've seen the highlights of last week's game, that it bears that out. Hawkins is another receiver that they use, and he's their gadget man. He works in the slot on the weak side and empty. They'll hand him the ball on speed sweeps, if you will. He works out of the backfield and some free release things. He really emerged against us last year in our trip to Cincinnati. I think he caught five or six balls, and I think all of them were on third down, and they employed him in that weak slot and empty, and that was our first exposure to him. Since then, his role has expanded, and he's a critical component of their offense. Of course, they got a solid stable of guys. Also, to supplement those guys, like what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is doing at the running back position, they've supplemented him with some other guys. Some of those guys have been injured, but the reality is that he's their primary ball carrier. Of course, Brian Leonard has distinguished himself against us in the past as a third down back in terms of what he's capable of doing, not only in terms of picking up pressure, blocking linebackers and so forth, but he has very solid and reliable hands, is a good route runner out of the backfield. They've got good cohesion in the offensive line and have for a number of years. A lot of familiar faces there. They're doing a nice job of moving the football. Andy Dalton is a very talented player physically and mentally. He doesn't make mistakes. He's mobile. He sees the field. He's a good anticipation thrower. You know, we got our hands full in terms of slowing those guys down, particularly in their environment. And we look forward to answering that challenge and working at it this week and preparing ourselves to do so. On the other side of the ball, they're a 4-3 front. Like many 4-3 fronts, like we've talked about here in recent weeks, they employ a lot of men. Let's talk about the ends briefly. Johnson, a third-year man or so from Georgia Tech, Dunlap out of Florida, Gathers. They're all long, talented, athletic guys. They disrupt passing lanes. They use their length as a weapon. They're good at redirection. They destroy screens. They bat balls. They sack quarterbacks. They create the type of splash plays that they feed off of as a team, whether it's Johnson intercepting passes, whether it's Dunlap with sack fumbles and so forth. This is a highly productive group. They do a nice job of putting quarterbacks under duress. They're supplemented inside with some quality players in Pico and Atkins, and I think it's worthy of mention that Atkins has, I don't know, 7.5, 8 sacks this year. He distinguishes himself. He's a pure under-tackle body type, as we say in this business. He's an athletic interior rushman. He distinguishes himself in rushing the passer against guards. He can break down the pocket. He's a short guy, not a small guy. He has built-in leverage. He can walk guards back on top of the quarterback. He's athletic enough also to get on the edge. they've got solid stability in the linebacking core with Ray Malaluga. He's their man in the middle. He's their signal caller. They employ nice blitz packages, double barrels, and so forth, utilizing those guys. But no question, he's the ringleader. They got an interesting veteran secondary. Some of the guys have been around, of course. Nelson, we know, and others. Adam Jones has been there. Leon Hall has been there. Nate Clements, of course, was an addition a year ago. They've added to that group with Terrence Newman, of course, a veteran player who's had Pro Bowl qualities over the years. He's playing solid for them at corner and contributing in a big way. Nate Clements has proven to be not only effective at corner, but he's also playing some safety for him. He's another solid veteran player, of course, that I mentioned earlier. Taylor Mays is playing for him at strong safety. They've reacquired Chris Crocker, who's also playing quite a bit and being very productive for him at strong safety. They got a lot of options in the secondary, most of which are veteran guys. It provides great flexibility for them in terms of what they do schematically. They're interchangeable parts, if you will. You'll see Leon Hall playing inside. You'll see him playing outside. You can say the same about Nate Clements. You'll also see him playing safety. They just got great flexibility with those veteran guys and moving parts, and it makes them tough to undress from a coverage standpoint. They're adept at both man and zone. They're capable of getting after you with a four-man rush. They're also capable of dialing up blitzes. So we're excited about the challenge that this week holds for us. Obviously, there's a sense of urgency within our group, as I'm sure it is within theirs. We're going to live it day by day. We had a good bonus day, if you will, yesterday of practice and preparation. Today is a coach's day in terms of putting together a game plan. The guys are in the building informally working out, taking care of their bodies and so forth. And we'll start with our base core plan tomorrow as we push through the week. Excited about it. We know what we are. We're a 2-3 football team, obviously, who hadn't won one on the road. No time like the present to change that, I think, is our mentality. I think that's the mentality that reverberated throughout the group yesterday. But mentality is one thing, actions are another. We got to put ourselves in position to take action, and that's going to occur on Sunday. Questions?
Mike, how did you guys kind of come to that 2-game suspension for something that was as disturbing as you say? Why not like 3 or 4 or 1 even, or an outright release?
You know, I'm not going to get into the decision of you know, our inner workings and mechanism, how we come to decisions. That's the decision that we came to and we stand by. And obviously, we deem this situation and his actions to be detrimental.
Are those 2 games a final decision? Say if the legal process plays itself out, could that then be amended and more added on later down the road?
That is our decision.
Mike, did you think about releasing him at all? Is there anything he has to do or needs to do?
Again, much like I just told that gentleman, I'm not going to get into the inner workings of how we come to our decisions. We intend to do what's right. That's always our number one charge, and we believe that we did in this instance.
Can you talk about, Mike, who was involved in this process?
I won't.
Coach, you talk about needing the next man to step up now. How would you assess the development of your younger defensive players? Are they where you want them to be right now?
No, they aren't. No, they aren't. But, you know, I think I'd say that if I was sitting here at 5-0, you know, this is not a patient man's business by any stretch. We need growth and development yesterday, if you will, not only in our defensive players but our offensive players. That is the nature of our business. And, you know, we're always pressing the envelope and trying to be the very best that we can be. We're always pressing the envelope trying to create an environment that fosters that. And regardless of the outcome of football games, that is and will be our mentality.
How do you press the envelope? What, are there different meetings this week? Okay, guys, we need more right now.
You know, it never gets stale. It's always alive. And I think just part of the journey that is an NFL season helps you in those efforts. You know, as you come in here this week, the issues are Cincinnati Bengal related. And they're a new and different set of issues maybe than we had a week ago. And they'll be new and different the week after this one. You know, that's the story of life in the National Football League. It's one that I believe that guys embrace, or they better embrace, and it's what – one of the things that makes the job rewarding and challenging.
Mike, we hear a lot about James Harrison when he's right, using his leverage against tackles. You mentioned how Atkins uses his leverage on the interior. Can you speak to what guys like Cologne and Legursky or Pouncey, whoever's playing center, need to do to combat that?
Well, thankfully, we got some guards with built-in leverage of their own, you know. But, you know, this guy's a talented guy. You know, he's not small. He's short. He's also athletic. He can go speed to power on you and threaten the edge and run down the center of you and collapse the pocket. He can also do the very opposite. He can get on the edge and rip swim and use a variety of rush moves to get to the edge and by you. He's a talented player. He's been to the Pro Bowl. He's a young guy that's really emerging and being very consistent in terms of how he dominates games and particularly situations. We got our hands full. It's not only a Willie Colon battle or Ramon Foster battle or Marquise Pouncey battle or Legursky battle. It is a Pittsburgh Steelers battle. One of the things that's unique about their rush, and I think they've sacked the quarterback 20 times or so thus far in the season, is the fact of it's a culmination of all the men I mentioned. You know, they've got some great edge rushers. They also have interior people that can collapse the pocket. So simply sliding up in the pocket doesn't get you out of harm's way. Of those 20 sacks, you know, the sacks don't always go to the first man that created the pressure or broke down the pocket. They do a nice job of creating a collective rush, a four-man rush, if you will, and that's why you see production from all of the parties that I mentioned, whether it's Gathers or Dunlap or Johnson or Atkins or Pico. They all are registering statistics, and they're all being productive. They're all affecting the game, and I think the strength is in the pack, although individually these guys are having great starts to the 2012 season.
You didn't mention that Lamar Woodley, we just take that he's fine, he'll play?
Yes, he will. As of right now, that's where he stands, yes. Sorry about that.
Mike, how about your depth on the offensive line with some of the injuries there? And is there a chance of a roster move this week at all?
There is. You know, we got a few young men, I think, in here today as we speak, working out to potentially join us in some capacity. But obviously, those that are going to help us win this football game this weekend are in our building and have been in our building.
Mike Adams will start it for Gilbert?
Yes, he will.
Mike, is dressing 8, I know you've dressed 7 all season, it's the 7 a couple times, you've been down to almost the last guy. Is dressing 8 on the O-line a possibility?
Absolutely is a possibility. It's a real possibility considering the circumstances. Obviously, with Marcus being down, and let's say Marquise Pouncey makes it, obviously, you'd want to fortify potentially yourself in that situation. And I think 8 linemen is a serious discussion that's going to take place given the circumstance. Not only the recent history in terms of what's transpired with the group, but also the very present in terms of some of the men that will be playing, obviously, will be dealing with things as we approach the game.
Mike, we're getting closer to the point where we can start talking about David Castro's return a couple weeks away. How is his progress going?
You know, he ran yesterday in a straight line. You know, as part of rehabilitation, I thought it was positive. I think how he responds to those workouts, of course, is going to be a critical component. But it is a certain period of time that he has to go through before he's even eligible to come back. And so we haven't spent a lot of time discussing his status or his progress. I just happened to look over there and see him running.
Mike, does the suspension give you an extra man on the 53, or does he still count on the 53?
It does give us an extra man on the 53.
For the 2 weeks?
Yes.
Coach, speaking of young guys that are making impressions, Baron Batch had a couple good plays and, of course, his first touchdown. Can you say that would create more opportunities for him?
It has, and I've been equally as impressed and pleased with his growth and development as a special teams player. He represented us at the coin toss last week as a special teams captain. I think his play has merited that. He's been solid from an effort and production standpoint in that area, too. And, of course, we hold that in high regard.
Coach, in this day and age and in this division, do you have to have a better run game, and why?
You know, it increases our chances of winning. It increases our chance of controlling the floor of the game and the line of scrimmage. Obviously, we believe in that. Obviously, we haven't done as well as we would like. We're a team in development in that area. We're not running from that. We're working on it daily, and hopefully that work will reveal itself on Sunday.
Do you point to the running game as part of the reason why you haven't been able to protect leads in the fourth quarter?
You can, but there are many reasons why we haven't done that. Obviously, it comes down to playmaking, and we hadn't made enough significant plays in those waning moments in our opponent's half.
How much do you pay attention to what's happening around you? How many AFC teams are over 500? How hurt the Ravens have suddenly become?
I don't.
At all?
I don't. You know, I run across information because I don't live in a vacuum, but it's not by any effort of mine to acquire it.
Mike, was releasing Wes Saunders, was that a pure personnel decision, or was there any kind of salary cap considerations that went into it?
It was a personnel decision.
Hey, Mike, for the way Dalton's progressed over the last couple of years, he has thrown 9 picks this year. What do you make of that stat, and is there anything he's doing in particular that's causing those interceptions?
You know, it's a variety of things. I think they're better equipped to address the reasons why because, you know, they've built their system, and, of course, they analyze what breaks down and what doesn't. But sometimes it's just quality play by the people that you compete against. I got a great deal of respect for him and his decision-making and his physical and mental skills. I think he's an interesting rising young star in the National Football League and got a great deal of respect for how he plays the position.
Mike, has Green become one of those guys that's really, A.J. Green, one of the top-level guys at his position in the league?
I believe that he is, and I think that, you know, that's probably the vision that they had when they drafted him where they drafted him. You know, you don't get taken that high in the draft unless you have a unique physical skill set. Obviously, he does, but obviously, looking at his body of work since he's been in Cincinnati, he's got some intangible things that go along with that that allow him to produce and produce at a high level in the manner in which he has. So, we respect him. We respect what he's capable of. And obviously, in terms of slowing them down, he's a big component of that for us as we build a plan.
Mike, how does Ike Taylor get back to the level of play that he displayed for most of last season?
You know, it's just that. He needs to get back to playing good, sound football. Obviously, we know and he knows that he's capable of that. And we look forward to working toward that this week and hopefully let that transpire on the field on Sunday.
You know, if I could go back to the question of the development of the younger players, you said you're not happy with it right now, but do you still believe that they are capable of it, that the potential is there?
Certainly.
Any more questions for Coach?
All right, great. Thank you, guys.